All right. So all four of us are up here. That usually means no good at all. The longest service that some of you's ever had is back. No, I'm just kidding. We're not aiming for that this morning. But we're excited. We're actually in for a treat this morning. I might have a bad wire here, so you guys can help me out if it goes out. We're excited. We're kicking off our annual missions campaign. And so we just thought we wanted all of us up here to get to share something. So I don't know, we can pray for miracles, miracle worker, that this all works out well. I think it's going to be awesome. Should be fun.
We just need to ask them if they brought lunch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's okay.
We four can, pastors, that's 4 hours, right?
4 hours. We can multiply bread and let's see what happens. So it's going to be a great morning here. We're starting our annual missions campaign here this morning. You might remember where we were all at a year ago. A year ago, we were about a month into this whole new normal of the pandemic reality. And as we moved into our missions campaign, we decided to scale it back with all the uncertainty of what was going on. And a year ago, our goal was $22,000 to raise for missions. And through your generosity to the Lord, $40,000 came in to go to missions a year ago. So praise God for that. As we move in, yeah, that's awesome. As we move into this next year, we're excited to trust God for more, specifically $50,000 for some initiatives that Aaron is going to share here at the end. A few of you have asked, what have you guys learned this last year during COVID as leaders? You know, what's going to be different? And there's a lot of answers to that, but let me just give one simple idea. I think it's allowed all of us to realize what's really important, what's essential for the church, what's our heartbeat, what's the highest priority. And that's essentially what we're going to get to share today. You'll remember this last year, we went through the Acts series this fall into the spring, brought a real renewed focus on our need for the Holy Spirit and the focus on Christ's mission. And that's really what we're going to unpack a little bit today. We're going to remember that important DNA of who we are. So you're going to get to hear from our heart today. It's a little bit different than normal. So what it's going to look like here, Perry's going to kind of share some timeless truths about our heart for being a Great Commission church, a church that embraces the mission that Travis described during worship of making worshipers disciples of all the nations. Travis is going to pull out a little bit of that. What does that look like in our local context in terms of our vision, our values, looking back over the last 10 years, looking forward? And then Aaron's going to wrap it up to kind of describe our initiatives this year through our missions campaign. So our three categories of what we're raising funds for and the initiatives we're hoping to take place in faith. So that's where we're going this morning. How about I say a short prayer and then I'll hand it to you, Perry. Does that sound good? All right. Sounds good. You guys pray with me. Lord, thank you so much. You are here right now. You're here in the room, and we just want to ask that you would help speak to our hearts this morning as the pastors of this church share our hearts. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive from you and to be excited in faith about what you might do in the future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take it away, Pupster.
Thanks, John. Pupster. You probably don't know that nickname.
We call him Pupster.
It's an old one. There's a story for another time. Good morning. As John mentioned, you know, the four of us went through the perspectives class this last fall, and it is a powerful thing. And, of course, it's all about world missions, and the whole goal of this class is to see every Christian involved in missions at some level. That could be praying for missionaries. It could be giving to them. It could be going yourself. Somehow hearing those firsthand accounts of what God is doing in faraway lands that most of us will never see, it's really, really inspiring. And it reminds me that God is still working, and the gospel is still incredibly powerful. But over time, it's easy to become complacent. I feel that in my own heart, and just even to take the gospel for granted. Paul wrote that it actually requires an act of God in order to open our eyes to those spiritual realities that are just so easily dulled and clouded by life in this world. And he wrote in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 this, I pray that your eyes may be the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. I think this should be a foundational verse for missions campaigns, because without that fresh sense of wonder regarding the gospel, missions can just be a boring chore, honestly. I've been reading a book by John Piper that has really expanded my own sense of wonder, and I love how he summarizes what's really going on in the world. He writes this.
Next slide. Cue next slide.
We're getting there.
Okay. He says, this is what's going on in the world. He says, before the foundation of the world, before there were any human beings who had sinned, before any human needed to be redeemed, God planned that the goal of creation and providence would be the praise of the glory of his grace, and that this grace would come to people through the forgiveness of trespasses, through the blood of the beloved Son of God. Or in other words, the aim of God in creation is to provide the fullest, clearest, surest display of the greatness, of the glory of grace, and that that display would be the slaughter of the best being in the universe in the place of millions of undeserving sinners. This is more than just a theological doctrine. It is a lens through which we see the real world, and it really consciously or unconsciously informs every practical decision we make in this life. C.S. Lewis, as you know, is a pretty deep thinker, and I think one of his most brilliant insights that he ever had was this. He said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. Forget it. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. I love that. You know, intellectually, I'm guessing that most of us all agree with that, right? But functionally, I think many Christians today are trying to live in that third category. But if God is real, if heaven and hell are real, and all have sinned and deserve God's wrath, and our only hope is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, then everything else in the world and in life pales by comparison. Everything. This perspective compelled Jonathan Edwards, a Puritan preacher, to be a missionary to the Mohawk Indians in New England in the early 1700s, during which time he made 70 resolutions. I'm not going to read them all to you today. Here's just one of them. He said this, "Where will all our worldly enjoyments be when we are laid in the silent grave? Resolved to live as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Resolved to live as I shall wish I had done 10,000 ages hence. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs." What a prayer. The Apostle Paul came to a similar conclusion when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is the unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I think we need to ask ourselves, what are my eyes fixed on? What am I giving my life to? Is there something big enough, important enough, great enough that outshines everything else that people are giving their lives to? I think the resounding answer is yes. Hands down, it is the gospel. Nothing else even comes close. And did you know the most famous verse in the Bible regarding the gospel is really a collection of superlatives all strung together? It's John 3:16. I love this. "For God, who is the greatest being, so loved," which is the greatest virtue, "the world," which is the greatest number, "that he gave," the greatest act, "his only Son," who is the greatest gift, "that whoever believes," which is the greatest offer, "in him," the greatest person, "shall not perish," which is the greatest loss, but the greatest difference, "have eternal life," the greatest reward. Now, the Bible portrays us as believers as just simple jars of clay in which this incredible treasure has been deposited and entrusted. So what are we supposed to do with this great treasure? Well, one thing, we're supposed to hold it fast. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 says, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now, on the other hand, we're not supposed to hide it or bury it or keep it to ourselves. We're instructed to share it and to showcase it and to let it shine out to others. Matthew 5:14-15, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." Now, I know many Christians today feel pretty insecure about actually doing this, about sharing the gospel. And that's why God has gifted some as evangelists, you know, not so they would do all the evangelism, but so they would train the rest of us how to effectively do it. You know, I have actually been in churches that, like us, have annual missions campaigns, mission months. And I've heard Christians complain at times because there isn't a regular sermon on those weeks. And some Christians purposely don't even show up to that month or those weeks during mission campaigns. And that is a very sad thing. Because missions, I believe, is the primary reason why God has even left us here on earth in the first place. If you think about it, every other thing in the Christian life can better be accomplished in heaven. I mean, we can worship better in heaven, even though our band is awesome. I have a feeling worship's going to be better in heaven. We can understand, sorry, Travis. We can understand the Bible better in heaven. We'll have Jesus face to face as our teacher. We'll experience better fellowship in heaven and pretty much everything else. The only thing we won't be able to do better in heaven is missions. So why are we still here? Like Travis mentioned in the songs, because there are still 3 billion people on this planet who have never heard the name of Jesus. Now, the knowledge of God's glorious grace, it's magnificent. And the stakes of eternity are too high for us to keep it to ourselves. Do you realize that when the COVID vaccine was first created, it took less than one day to communicate that amazing, life-changing good news to the entire world? One day. We have the greatest news on earth. And yet after 2,000 years, the job's still not done. You probably heard the chief end of man is to glorify God. How do we do that? Well, largely by making more thankful followers of him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:15, "For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." That's what this is about. Missions is not an end in itself. Okay? Again, Piper says in his book, "Let the Nations Be Glad," missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. This is it. This is our only chance to see this happen. We can lose sight of that in our day-to-day lives. Missions is not just completing a task. It is a gathering together of an eternal family. Whose family? Our family. Ours. And so 1 month out of the year is not too long to devote to this divine mandate of striving together as a church to make disciples of all the nations. And one key verse, I'll just share one verse from the perspectives class that gives us one very key motivation. It's this, Matthew 24:14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations." That's all ethnic groups in the whole world. And then the end will come. So Jesus seems to be indicating that the timing of his second coming is somehow connected to every human ethnic group on earth eventually being represented in heaven. Most of the ethnic groups that are left to be reached, as you may know, are in the hardest of places. Places like North Africa, the Middle East, India, China, East Asia. And we know that all these people groups are going to be reached because we see them all worshiping before the throne of God in the book of Revelation. So that should encourage us that this goal of global missions is going to be successful. But it won't happen apart from means, God's ordained means. And those means include us. People are the means, and the church is the vehicle. And over the years, we've seen God has used ordinary people in our churches to accomplish amazing things to this day. So Travis is going to share a little bit more about our own church's vision and how we hope to see that continue.
All right. So you guys know our mission statement as a church? This is it. Making disciples of Jesus by the grace of God. This is basically when you see a mission statement in a company, a corporation, organization. The mission statement is basically, this is why we exist. This is our thing. And then usually an organization would have a vision, and vision consists of something, it may be a little bit more internal to the company than not maybe everybody else is fully aware of. It's not like the first thing on the website. But it's kind of a future vision of how we want to be, what we want to be doing. If everything's banging on all cylinders, this is what we want it to look like. And so here's our vision. And we want because we're making disciples of Jesus, we're doing that, right? We're making disciples. We want those disciples to be delighting in God first. And there's kind of a little bit of a progression here, because when you delight in God, you can't help but start loving the people around you. And so we're going to be loving one another. When that Christ-centered love is actually happening, people want to jump in because it's so good. And so we're going to multiply followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to share this gospel. We're going to share this good news about God. And then as we do that, we end up blessing our neighbors. You know, there's a command that Jesus gave. He said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to bless our local area here, the city. That's our local area. And then we are going to, because as Perry said, there's a whole bunch of people out there that haven't heard the name of Jesus. 3 billion people haven't heard the name of Jesus. We want to expand this thing globally. I was actually sitting here thinking as Perry was talking. A couple weeks ago when I was teaching on Easter, I just mentioned affections and emotions. And I think it can be really easy for us to look at the task of missions and start thinking of it as a duty. But I really want to encourage all of us not to go there. Think of it more like, and here's my analogy that just came to mind, and I haven't worked this fully out because I've just been sitting here. But my wife makes the best pizza. It's the best pizza in town. It's better than Crazy Carl's. Crazy Carl's good. It's the best pizza. It's the best pizza. And I am an evangelist for my wife's pizza. If it was bad pizza, I wouldn't be that excited about it. But she makes the best pizza. And there may be a time where I invite you over to my house so that you can experience the best pizza. Delight in that pizza. I've become an evangelist. I'm going to make disciples of you. That you'll also realize that this is the best pizza. Why? Because the pizza is amazing. That's why. We don't get all worked up about things that we don't think are amazing. Right? It just becomes a duty. It becomes sort of like, oh, I guess I'm obligated to do that, but I don't really want to. And I just like to challenge all of us. I think our affections and our emotions should get in line with this mission that we've been called into. And it starts with our very first vision point, and that is delighting in God. If we don't see God as the best thing above everything else, none of the rest of that is going to happen. None of it's going to happen because we're not multiplying anything good. Jesus is the best thing. So I just wanted to harp on that for just a second. But I also want to just talk a little bit about history. You know, if you've been around our church for a long time, you've been around, maybe some of us have been around since the very beginning. I haven't. I'm newer, but I'm still old. We have a history as a church. This church has been here since 1984. We have a history of planting churches. So this is in our welcome booklet. We share this with newcomers. Fort Collins, some of you planted in 1984. Because you see all the way back, pretty soon, you know, the church was established, et cetera. 1995, you see Loveland planted. The Loveland Church is still there. Greeley planted in 1997, it's still there. Boulder, short history, but came back, but still had a lot of fruit. Amsterdam, we still have a mission front in Amsterdam. Denver's still there. Denver multiplied to Parker. Phoenix is still happening. Salt Lake City is going great at this point. But you see that, and I just wanted to just talk about this for just a second, there's something that kind of halts around 2010-ish, and that's the church planting endeavors. You see that kind of halts. There are some other things that start happening there, because I think we had a renewed focus on the end of the earth and the nations, and so you see our overseas missions kind of kicked off a little bit there, and there's been some fruit with Japan and Hong Kong, East Asia. But I think for a lot of us, if you've been around for the last decade, you know that our church, we've had some struggles. I just want to just bring up an analogy. It's like our church is a ship, and the water's kind of got a little rough over the last decade for various reasons, and the ship started rocking a little bit. And when the ship is moving like that and rocking, it's really hard to turn it and set the prow in a direction and actually move forward. And so while we have had some moving forward in terms of international missions, you know, we had multiple events that kind of have destabilized a few things over the years. One, our founding pastor moved on to a regional role. We experienced one of our lead pastors resign. And as the four of us, I think we felt a lot like the last few years we've been doing a lot of stabilizing. Out of necessity. They may be making an active choice not to push super far forward on the church planting front, even though that's our DNA and our vision. We haven't lost focus on that. But just to take a little bit of that leadership energy and go, hey, hold on, we've got to stabilize this before we move forward. And I actually find it really kind of interesting that at the end of a global pandemic and crisis that here we are wanting to move forward. Some of you may think, well, no, this is not a good time to do such things. But we want to do that because we want to be an actively sending church. Because when you look at this expanding globally vision point, this is who we are. We want to be doers of the word. We don't want to just be hearers of it. We want to expand. We want to have other people delight in God. And, you know, I just think going back to what Jesus said, you know, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. In Matthew 14, he was telling the disciples, he said, you know what? I have all authority. The God the Father has given that to me. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's been just refreshing to me as we've taught through the book of Acts recently. And as I've been looking at the expansion that the church had in the first century, a lot of that expansion was in the middle of really, really hard crisis moments. It's like God does something supernatural and all of a sudden the church just grows like crazy. And I'm looking at our church and our situation and our culture and everything else, and sometimes some of the best movements of God happen in the middle of crisis. I'm actually looking at this year going, maybe this is like the best year in my entire lifetime for us to trust that God's going to do something supernatural by the power of his Spirit. So I just wanted to talk real quick before I transition this over to Aaron, how we're going to structure, just conceptually, vision-wise, our missions campaign this year. If you've been around for a little bit, you know we've had kind of a city focus here on Fort Collins, usually when we have these campaigns, and then we have a to the nations focus. We're going to revise that just a little bit this year. We started off last fall speaking through Acts. We harped on this verse. We've been talking about this verse, reminding ourselves of this verse. This is the Great Commission in the book of Acts. Jesus sitting down with his disciples. And it's right before he goes up into heaven. And he tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Right? So you see kind of a threefold progression there. So you will be my witnesses. And this is how we're going to structure our campaign this year. In Jerusalem, so there's a local, right? Because the local city of Jerusalem is where they were at. But then there was a regional expansion. We saw that happen actually in the book in Acts chapter 8, where great persecution breaks out and suddenly they're dispersed and all of a sudden the gospel is being preached in Samaria, right? So the region, it's still kind of local, it's regional, and we're going to have a regional emphasis in our campaign this year. And then to the ends of the earth, we're committed to getting to the nations. Let's get those 3 billion people hearing the name of Jesus and seeing that God is the best thing and becoming disciples of him. So we have city, region, and nations. That's the what. That's the structure. Now, the how is the first part of this verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is by the grace of God, you guys. It's not through our own human effort. It's not by our best laid plans. We're going to step out in faith, but we're going to ask God to work in power through our weakness. We're going to ask Jesus to do something supernatural through us as a church. So as we lay out plans and structures and donate money and make personal commitments, our overarching, the how we do this is by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us as a church. I'm going to hand this over to Aaron. I think one more there.
All right. Well, now let's get down to the specifics. How specifically, what specific plans do we have for missions related to the local level, the regional level, and the international level? Well, I'm going to give you the quick overview of what we have planned for this year. And just keep in mind, it is going to be an overview. And so I'm going to briefly describe some of these initiatives. Next week, we're going to go into more details. And we're actually going to hear personally and directly from several of the people that are going to be involved in these plans. And so if you're left with questions this morning, you will be left with questions this morning. Come back next week, and of course the following 2 weeks after that, and we're going to try to unpack a lot of what we're going to go into. So what are we doing? First, on the local level. Well, one of the priorities, the values that we've had in this church for as long as it has existed is the next generation. And we believe that there's a need to invest very purposefully into the next generation, from little babies on up to young adults. With every new up-and-coming generation, it's like a fresh culture is presented. And there's a need to take the eternal truths of the gospel and bring them into the context of that new culture. And we think that takes purposefulness and intention, and it takes resources. And we want to make sure that we are prioritizing certain resources to reach that next generation. And so, very simply, we intend to make some strategic hires, bring a couple of young men onto staff in order to invest their time into the next generation. And specifically, we would like to bring these two young men on staff, Sebastian DeCleva and Chris Shuey. And let me just maybe reintroduce you guys to them and describe what their role is going to be. And so Sebastian, many of you know, because he's led us in worship on Sunday mornings quite a bit. Even last week, he was the one that led us through our morning of prayer and worship. And I hope from having him lead you in worship, you have caught a glimpse of his love for Jesus. And I hope you have caught a glimpse of the strength and the maturity that has been molded into him and that God is continuing to mold into him. And we're excited to bring him on board on staff. Now, initially, for both of these guys, they're going to be part-time, although we're anticipating that that could turn into a full-time position. But we're excited to bring him on staff. Now, he is going to continue to work with our worship ministry, and he also brings some skills related to tech and communications. But related to the next generation, we're excited to have him invest a lot of his time into our youth ministry, working with middle schoolers and high schoolers. Now, what does that mean? What does that exactly look like? Does that mean he's our youth pastor and we're handing over this ministry to him? Well, no. We have some values there that are really going to guide us. And one of the values is that we believe in parental investment. We really invite parents to invest into the lives of their teens. And our youth ministry we see as a partnership with parents. And so we love to have parental involvement and really parental leadership in our youth ministry. And we really value having pastoral involvement there as well. So I myself am going to continue to oversee and direct our youth ministry. However, we do believe that there's an important role for someone like Sebastian, someone who's a few years removed from high school, but can bring a lot of energy and devotion to Jesus to these teenagers. And we're excited for him to be on board and to be able to make disciples of those teenagers and to partner with us to do that together. Besides, we just, a couple weeks ago, we played capture the flag with our high schoolers, and I'm still sort of sore from it. So for the sake of my hamstrings, we need Sebastian on board. So Sebastian's working with our youth ministry. Chris. Chris has been involved with our campus ministry for several years now. And if I could describe Chris, I might use the word passion, because a passionate guy. And I'll tell you what sealed the deal for me in my mind in terms of thinking, yeah, we need this guy on staff. A few weeks ago, I played basketball with Chris. And if you've ever played basketball, you know that sometimes you play against guys that are really, really irritating. And they're irritating because they get every rebound. And they get every loose ball. And there's just like this extra gear, there's this motor in them, and they just go and they go and they go and they never take a playoff. And you can never forget to box them out, because he'll still get the rebound even when you remember to box him out. And he just goes and goes and goes. That's Chris. It's really annoying. And the entire time, and it makes it even worse, the entire time he does it with a smile on his face. Now, that translates. Not that Chris is annoying, but that he's tenacious. And he tenaciously pursues his God, and he tenaciously pursues other people with the gospel, and we really believe there's a budding evangelist in Chris. And so we're excited for him to partner with Pastor John here to invest into our campus ministry more and more, and really renew a lot in our campus ministry. So on the local level, we're looking to bring these two men on board and free up a lot of their time to make disciples of the next generation. Regional level, and this is a big one. And we alluded to it in our email this past week, a little teaser there. But we are hoping to plant a church, and specifically to plant a church in Severance, Colorado. Okay, just across the interstate over there. Why are we doing this? Well, we've, again, we'll give you more details next week. But in a nutshell, this part of the state is exploding in terms of population. In fact, it's been said that the Severance-Windsor community is the fastest growing community in the nation, which is kind of remarkable. And over the last few months, after coming to that understanding of just how quickly this part of our world is growing, we've been intrigued. And we've wondered, okay, if we truly have the fastest growing community in the nation, just a stone's throw away, there are a lot of people moving into that community, even a lot of our people here in Fort Collins being priced out of Fort Collins and moving east of the interstate. And if those new people are coming in with, maybe rethinking some things, with a unique openness to community, even unique openness to ideas, fresh ideas, should we do something about that? And we felt like that we should. And so we have been dreaming about this and praying about this for the last few months, and would love to make some efforts to plant a church in Severance, Colorado. We also have a man who would like to spearhead that effort, and that is Roger Everhart. Now, a lot of you know Roger. Roger has been with our church for a long, long time, and he's our facilities director here, so he's on staff with the church. But in addition to that, he has helped lead our youth ministry for the last several years, and he's also led small groups and coached small groups. In reality, for many years, Roger has shepherded people. You could say pastored people. And he has a huge heart for church planting. It just seems to be in his blood. It's what comes out of him when you talk to him. He just has a desire to see churches multiplied. And so Roger, together with his wife Renee and a team of people that is coalescing, is really considering planting a church there. Now, a couple comments about that. Number one, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a full-fledged church tomorrow morning in Severance there. We are seeing this as a little bit of a process. Over the next few months, we're going to make a lot of effort to toss some seeds over there in Severance and test the waters a little bit and just try to stir up some activity and talk to a lot of people and see if disciples are made. And over the next few months, we're going to test that. And come fall, if it seems like God is moving and there are disciples being made, we may, you know, officially commission this and say, yeah, this is a church. Jesus has created a church here in Severance, Colorado. We want to be very led by Jesus, just like in Acts 16. If Jesus tells us to stop going here, well, we're going to go the other way. But we want to be very, very open and just take those steps and start moving and trust that God is going to materialize something. Another thing, if it does really, really take off and this becomes a viable church, understand that there'd probably be a lot of overlap of ministry there. And so we'd probably share youth ministry. We might share some teaching or some other resources. We're going to try to be very, very connected, very much in partnership, especially initially with this. But this is the plan. We're going to move in that direction and trust that God is going to stir up something in Severance, Colorado. All right. Internationally, what are we thinking internationally? Well, we're going to continue to really do what we've been doing for many years here, and we want to support cross-cultural workers, cross-cultural missionaries, and working really on the frontier of the gospel. And it's been exciting how many people have sort of grown up spiritually in this church and have developed a heart and a vision to go. And to go across the ocean, to go to very, very hard to reach places, very needy places. And we have a bunch of those people that have come out of this church that are somewhere else, that are over there or are preparing to go over there. And so, of course, we want to continue to support them prayerfully, support them relationally, and support them financially. And so here's a handful of those people that have come out of this church that are over there somewhere. And it is exciting to think of ministry happening in Amsterdam, mainly actually among refugees from the Middle East that have moved to Amsterdam. There is to be ministry happening in Central Asia. Think the stands, you know, those countries that seem pretty obscure to us over here in the West, but are very needy of the gospel. A lot going on in East Asia in various places, even Far East Asia in Japan, very needy. Needy place, needy of the gospel, and even international ministry that's happening right here with international students. And so we are expecting to continue to support these guys in their work that they're doing over there. As both Travis and Perry mentioned, the Great Commission is about making disciples of all nations. It is on God's heart to see a gospel representation among every people group. These guys are doing it. We want to support them. Hey, so that's what we're planning. We're going to give you a lot more details again in the upcoming weeks, especially next week, and we're going to hear from several of these people that I mentioned. But that's what we're planning. As John said at the beginning, we're shooting for $50,000 to raise, and we feel like that's very, very attainable. Actually, I'm hoping that we can go beyond that. That should be very attainable. But that's our target. That's what we're planning on, $50,000, and all of that money is going to putting boots on the ground. It's supporting people. It's paying part of the salary of Chris and Sebastian. It is helping to redistribute some of Roger's time. I didn't mention earlier, but he's going to go down to half time here at the building, and then half of his time is going to be spent scattering those seeds in Severance. And so we're redistributing some of his role, and money's going to help to support that process. And then money's going to be helping just the livelihood of these missionaries that are overseas. And so it's all going to putting boots on the ground, and we're really excited about that. So over the next 4 weeks, this is just what's happening. This week was the overview. Just wanted to present to you the why and then a little bit of what we're planning. Next week, we'll go into more details, and as I said, we'll have people share about what their heart is, what they're planning. The following week, we're going to talk about finances, what this is actually going to take financially from us and how that plays into each one of our lives and what kind of faith that we can bring there. And then the final week, and I think this is going to be an important one, we're going to talk about this being a whole church effort. This is not just a few people are thinking about severance and a few people are going overseas and they're the ones applying faith. If any of this is to happen, everybody has to get on board. And there are going to be holes to fill. There are going to be new responsibilities to take on. And so even apart from financial giving, apart from direct involvement in any of these projects, we need you. The body of Christ grows as each part does its work. So that's the plan. Again, we'll talk about it a lot more over these next few weeks, but we invite you to bring faith and dream with us, pray with us as we pursue these different initiatives. So with that, we're going to invite the band back up here. We already have one band member up here, but we're going to invite the band up here. We're going to sing one last song. We're going to sing Not to Us. And of course, that's a very fitting song, because we want to make sure that when we're making plans and when we're pushing the boundaries of the gospel or trying to, that it's a very God-centered thing. And we're drawing on Him for His Spirit, His power, like Travis described. And we're also doing it with the right motivation, and that is His fame. Okay, He gets the glory. And so why don't you stand and we'll sing one more song.